is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
You are all about to get on this record.
The world is getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gators and grannies, to this Sunday's edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through Revolution Radio. Welcome, and thanks for joining in today. Revolution Radio is a viewer-supported station, guys. We don't get anything from the governments. They wouldn't take it from the government, even if it was offered. They have great hosts, great shows here, so if you can afford to throw a couple bucks into the kitty every month, I know the owners and producers over there would much appreciate. Even a cup of coffee a month would make a big difference if 50 or 100 of us were able to do that. Today I've got my friend back in. Over the last 8 and 9 years of doing radio, I've had Roger Landry in on pretty well a bi-weekly or every three weeks I try to get Roger in. It's been 3 weeks now since I've talked to him. I know there's a lot happened since the last time we had a chat, Roger, and welcome back to the show. And I know there's about 50 things you want to talk about, but why don't I put you on the spot and ask you what your pet peeve of the week is?
Oh, my pet peeve is that everybody thinks...
Always a good way to start.
How are you today?
Roger, I had, you know what, buddy, I got to tell you real quick. Last night I had one of the coolest dreams, and I don't remember my dreams, but I had one of the coolest dreams I think I've ever had my whole life last night. It was so real. I woke up, I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. And I found myself swimming in a pod of killer whales. And it was so real, man. I woke up thinking that I'd actually swam with this pod of killer whales in the northern waters here of British Columbia. So cool is one of the coolest dreams I ever had in my life. It made my day. Go ahead.
Wow.
So much for that. That was a great dream, oh, man. Oh, it was. You know, I got to swim with whales once in the Charlottes years and years ago, about 35 years ago. I got to swim with a pod of Alaska gray whales that were migrating from California to Alaska. I was over there doing some work, and I had my dive gear with me, and I went into the waiting for the ferry that day. It was about a 6 or 7 hour wait, and I had my dive gear in the car and looked out in the bay, and here it goes, poof, a whale, and another poof, a whale. Well, I jumped. Well, actually, I had to phone the guy from the fire department because my tank was empty, so I phoned the guy at the volunteer fire department. He came and gave me a wet fill in my tank, and I got to swim with Alaska gray whales for about half an hour, and that was the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. Okay, no more stories.
Look.
By far.
What's really bothering me is that so many people think that there's so many things going wrong in the world today. People need to wake up to the fact that it's never been better. It's never been easier. We've never had it so good. I mean, come on, Barry. Are you one of them conspiracy nuts? Okay. Obviously, that was a sorry attempt at humor.
I got to censor that one, Roger.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't believe you actually said that.
Well, I said it purely for a chuckle or for people to go, wait a minute, is this the Roger we used to listen to? Okay, you asked me what my pet peeve is. My pet peeve is that most people tend to consider. Let's take a look at the United States for just for a minute, okay, because this is really a global scenario. But let's take a look at the United States for a couple of minutes. What we need to understand, what's going on in what is supposed to be the most economically viable country that the planet has ever seen, the most technically advanced country that the planet has ever seen, the freest country that the planet has ever seen. What we are seeing in the United States, and this is representative of the entire planet, but let's pick it out of one place to start with, okay? We are seeing more major disasters and things going wrong and things happening that we never in our lifetimes thought would happen. And they're all happening simultaneously. And they're all happening over the last couple of years. It's almost as if, gee, imagine this. It was all choreographed. So what is my pet peeve? My pet peeve is that people out there think that economic destruction going on across the planet is a singled out issue. People are thinking that all of the people that are dying across the planet is a singled out issue. People are thinking that the shipping of products from one country to another that has literally gone haywire is a separate scenario. People are thinking that the open borders that we are seeing, not just in the United States, but in other major countries across the planet, is a separate scenario. No! All of these things are part of the same scenario. If you have had 100 years to choreograph the takeover of humanity, it wouldn't be some small issue. It would be something of global consequence. If you take a look at all of the issues I mentioned, all the way up to and including the mishandling of documents by Joe Bob, which is my nickname for President Biden, which I hate to use the word president with the word Biden, but okay, we do what we have to do. If you stop to consider, even that is part of this scenario. What's my biggest pet peeve is that they are giving us 20 or 30 major disasters all happening simultaneously in the shortest period of time in history. What you are seeing today, we have seen a lot of this before, but spread out over 20, 30, 40 years. We have never seen this much disaster, this much catastrophe in a 2-year period. It has never happened. So what are you looking at? You are looking at the dumbing down of humanity and the takeover of humanity. This is a global elitist stepping up to say, and if you remember, Barry, you've known me for almost 10 years. If you remember, I have been talking about the global elite and the New World Order for at least a dozen years, saying this was the inevitable result. It's not 10, 15, 20, 30 individual catastrophes. It is 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 catastrophes, all components of the same drive. And what is that drive? Well, go to Davos and ask them. Okay? Ask them at the World Economic Forum. Ask them what that drive is. That drive is the socialist or communist takeover of the entire planet. In order to do that, there are two prerequisites. Yes, I'm almost done, Barry. There are two prerequisites. The first prerequisite is you need global financial collapse. It's happening. Look around you. What's the other scenario? They have all agreed, and some of them have spoken openly about this, that 8 to 9 billion people are far too many to control. So the two scenarios that must happen is you must take the global economy to its knees. It's happening right before your eyes. And you must thin down the population by anywhere from 70 to 90%. And that is also happening. So this is the scenario. This is what peeves me more than anything else, is that we've got 20 or 30 different disasters distracting people in different directions, and none of them are putting all of the pieces together unless they listen to shows like this and your shows and other great hosts out there that are speaking of this. They aren't putting it all together as one function with many facets. Have I got that wrong, Barry?
No, hey, Roger, it doesn't matter where you look in the world today. We see chaos. We could talk about weather. We could talk about geological events. We could talk about wars and rumors of wars. We could talk about all kinds of different aspects that are attacking the human being. It's an onslaught. And for most people, a lot of them still don't see what's really going on. They know there's some messed up things going on, but they really can't put their finger on it. I think you're going to see a real change in the near future here, in this year especially, where people are going to be forced to look at some of the things that are going on, especially with the jibby jabs. And I honestly believe that there's going to be a major escalation of deaths. And that, I believe, is going to happen here very, very quickly. A couple doctors I listened to this week. We will. I was listening to two doctors, you know, and I meant to write their names down. One's in Japan, really, really smart guys. And they're telling us that what we're seeing now was the onslaught of deaths, sudden adult death syndromes, all the other syndromes that they're coming up with right now, what they're doing to our children, the amount of deaths now that are being reported in our children. That's going to really, really escalate this year. And it's going to put society, I hope it does, Roger, because we don't have much time left. And I don't want to see, I shouldn't say I want to see people die, but I hope it gets to a point where people are forced to believe that they are being played like a fiddle. That, I know that maybe that doesn't sound quite right, because I'm saying that we need deaths to bring on an awareness in society. But really, at this point, what else is going to wake people up, Roger? Go ahead.
You just set the perfect stage for what I needed to say. I believe that the vaccines, or the quote unquote vaccines, they're not. They don't qualify as vaccines. They never have. As a matter of fact, prior to this plandemic, the scamdemic, they actually changed the definition of a vaccine so that it would, they could use it to describe what they are calling a vaccine. It's a jab. Okay, it's an mRNA experimental jab. But is that the worst thing that has happened to humanity in my lifetime and probably in many lifetimes? Yes, it is. Why do I say that? Let's break this down. And if you wanted to focus on one point, this isn't my pet peeve. I've already told you my pet peeve. But this is one of the components of that pet peeve that stands right at the top of the list. Let's talk about the jabs. Let's talk about the Moderna CEO standing up and telling people, literally, this is on YouTube. You can find it, okay? the CEO of Moderna stepping up to say, look, people, this is what's happening, okay? The COVID-19 situation is this. It is actually not much worse or any worse than a bad year's flu. The only people who are seriously in danger due to COVID-19 are those who are over 80 years old or suffer from several or multiple comorbidities. This is what the CEO of Moderna said, and that's the second biggest COVID jab maker on the planet. Okay, So let's take that just a little bit further. I want you, Barry, because you and I are close to the same age, to tell me the last time you saw during a flu season that you were required to lock down, wear masks, and take 5 flu shots.
Roger, I have this conversation with people every day, and it's a point that I try to make to people. I challenge them to go look at the numbers for the last 10 years, the last 10 years in Canada, and if you go look at the numbers and then compare them to the onslaught of the killer pandemic, there's virtually is no difference in the numbers. So I say to people, well, were we putting masks on and self-quarantining and all this other crap 5, 6, 7 years ago when we were dealing with the exact same pathogen in society? We weren't. So what has changed? That one sentence, Roger, has been more effective for me to get people to think about it for a few minutes. Just think about it, because none of it makes any sense. The media sold it to us. The world sold it to us. The bad guys behind the curtain sold this to us. There's nothing to it. Go ahead, buddy.
Were we destroying society for a flu 3 years ago? Were we destroying a society for a flu 5 years ago? No, not even close. Not even close. And you took one yearly flu shot, not 5. But let's talk about that, because this is where we open the door to just how evil these jabs actually are. I'm going to tell you something that I probably said on your show well over a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago. I stated this. I said, when you take the first COVID shot, okay, it severely hampers your immune system. It does. When you take the second COVID shot, it severely hampers it even more. When you take the third COVID shot, or the first, whatever they call it, there were actually 2 shots, and then you had to get the third one, then you had to get the fourth one, and now there's a fifth one. Okay, anything over 2 shots, 3 shots and above, what you are looking at is a massive reduction in the ability of your immune system to fight off anything. Once you have had 3 shots, this is what we are hearing from researchers globally. Once you have had the third shot, your immune system has said bye-bye. When you've had the fourth shot, the fourth shot is there to make sure that one of the other 3 didn't lay down on the job, and the fifth shot just brings up the rear or makes, I don't know, Pfizer, Moderna, and a couple of other companies a whole hell of a lot of money. Let's talk about how many people globally have had the COVID shot. We're talking between 5.5 and 6 billion people. How many of them have had multiple shots? A vast majority of them. So what we are looking at are severely hampered immune systems or totally destroyed immune systems. Why would they do that instead of just outright killing you? Because if you don't have an immune system, or your immune system is severely hampered, this is what they get out of that. Okay. When you die, did you die from COVID? No, you didn't, because COVID basically is nothing worse than the flu. So you didn't die from COVID. All right. When you die, did you die from the shot? No, you didn't die from the shot. What did you die from? You died from cancer. You died from another yearly flu. You died from a virus that died from something your system would normally have been able to fight off without even breaking into a sweat, because you had a fully developed immune system. Right now, we've got over 5 billion people on this planet that have a greatly reduced immune capability, immunoresponse capability, greatly reduced. So what we're going to be seeing, and it's not all going to happen at once, over the next 2 to 5 years is a massive die-off. It won't be from COVID. It won't be from the shots. One of the things it's going to be from in a large instance is cancer. Cancer has exploded on this planet. Yes. Literally. Do some research. Why? Because without an immune system, cancer runs wild in your body. There is nothing to stop it. The actual cases of cancer have gone up drastically, but that's not the worst part. If you went through and did all your cancer treatments for 2 years and you had the, you know, the chemotherapy, you had the radiation, and you suffered through this for several years, and all of a sudden you are pronounced cancer-free. And for about 6 months or a year, you run around telling the world, I'm free, I got rid of it. And then you take your COVID shots. And within 2 months, your cancer is screamed back at a level you can't even imagine. And this is being seen globally.
I challenge people to go look into this information that Roger's sharing right now.
I never mind. You know that by now.
No, I know that, Roger. But, you know, a lot of people don't really understand and don't know just how bad cancer has become since the introduction, the correlation between the beginning of the Jibby Jabs and the rising cancer is undeniable. I know the numbers you're talking about, and they're right off the scale. Across the board here, this is what the numbers I come up with. I'll let you talk in a second here, but I did a little looking into this, Roger, and across the board, some have gone up 800%, some have gone 1,000, some have gone 200%, but average for cancers across the board, 400% increase since the start of the Jibby Jab. Go ahead. That's just a coincidence, by the way, but go ahead.
And actually, I don't know when the last time you looked at that, but it's up over 500% by this point.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's but you're right.
Report that I read that came out about 4 months ago on cancer, and it had it about 400% across the board. Go ahead.
Yep. I want to go back to a conversation you and I had about a year ago, where you're looking at a bus going down the street with a picture of a kid on it, and they're talking about the kid having heart problems, something we never saw in children before, or it was so rare, it was insane. You and I did a show, I was on your show about a year ago, and you were saying you had even seen a bus with this on it, you know, about taking care of kids who have heart problems. It didn't exist. But now myocarditis. Yeah.
I'm not laughing, but it's crazy.
Now we're talking about myocarditis that can affect young children. Let me ask you a question. If you know for a fact that COVID has a mortality rate on infants, we're talking 1 year old, 6 months old, whatever, all the way up to about 5 years old, okay? A mortality rate that is insanely low. It's 0.0007%. In other words, it almost doesn't exist at all. You may have one child out of 5 million that's going to die from this as a result of this and this alone. Yet you're going to tell these parents that their children, in order to go to preschool, in order to do this, in order to do anything, these children need to take what we know today is the most deadly pharmaceutical product ever utilized on humanity. Now, I'm going to give you a scenario, Barry, and I want you to tell me whether this is accurate or not, okay? This is the scenario. This woman, this mother, takes her child, her four-year-old child, into the family doctor, sits down in a chair. The doctor walks over and says, "Hello, Mary, how are you today? What can I do for you?" And she says to the doctor, I got to tell you, little Bobby here cannot go to preschool, cannot go, and I can't go to work unless my child can go to preschool, you know. He needs to get a vaccine. He needs to get a COVID vaccine. And the doctor looks at her, looks at this young childish young boy, who isn't even 5 years old, walks over to his desk, opens the drawer, pulls out a six-shot revolver with a bullet in one chamber, spins it, walks back, hands it to the mother, says, "Here, Mary, point this at your child's head and pull the trigger." This is exactly what that woman is doing. This is not an exaggeration. It's not a lie. It's not a joke. The 1 in 6 chance of that child dying may be a little exaggerated, but it makes the point. The fact is, you are giving something that has a much better chance of harming that child for life or killing that child than ever doing anything good for that child. But you were told if that child doesn't take this vaccine, that child cannot function in society. This is the world we live in. In 1974, I believe it was, the H1N1 vaccine was pulled off the market for having killed 35 people. Did you hear me? 35 people. Today, the COVID jabs, by some researchers who have done the statistics, are stating that the deaths globally because of this exceed 20 million and probably exceed 25 million. But that's not the worst part. The side effects, which they tried to hide for 75 years and there are over 1,200 side effects to these jabs, the side effects, okay? Let's stop and think about this, okay? How many people are dying from these shots? Barry? Barry?
The VAERS system in the States right now has it at about 33,000 that they can verify were directly responsible because of the jab. But we know that
bullshit.
Number is
that's
a
bullshit.
Fraction. That number is a fraction. Well,
okay,
I know. Roger,
right,
that number is a fraction of what it actually is. Go ahead.
Let me finish what I started here, okay? So you have, right now, statistically, these researchers are screaming between 20 and 25 million deaths, and they say it could actually be much higher, and it will be soon. But that's not the most dangerous part. That's what I was telling you. Let's go to the side effects. The side effects of the vaccines have affected the health of or hospitalized or severely crippled 2.2 billion people on this planet so far. Did you hear what I said? 2.2 billion. If these people are already showing signs of being affected by the side effects of these vaccines that they tried to hide for 75 years, are they still going to be alive a year from now? Are they still going to be alive 2 years from now? Because out of those 2.2 billion, and that number goes up every single day, a vast majority of them won't be. That's how bad this is. And none of this is a lie. And when you hear, and you can go anywhere nowadays and hear the stories about sudden death syndrome, people just dropping dead from cardiac issues and other issues, just dropping dead on the spot. And guess who it affects the most? 65 years old and younger. In other words, the working men and women of society.
Well, absolutely. This, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the age demographic of people that are always affected by the flu, it's always the elders in our society because their bodies are old and they have lots of comorbidity. Young people don't get affected by this, Roger. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. That's what I said is just the opposite. The people that are dropping dead suddenly, it's 65 and under, the massive majority of them, not 65 and older. It is the biggest, listen to me, the biggest killer of individuals on this planet, okay, that are 65 years old or younger. That's not a mistake.
Well, that is, that's actually something that I hadn't heard before, Roger.
That's an absolute
and,
fact.
I'd like to look. Okay. If you maybe get asked the show today, maybe you can send me a couple links because I, you know.
All you got to do is go to the Liberty Beacon.
I didn't know the numbers. Okay. Yeah, I know.
No, but I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you that nothing else is killing them. What I'm saying is it is the single biggest killer, okay? The single biggest killer of those 65 and under is this sudden death. Unexplained death. Why are these people the just numbers. Dropping dead? Wait, how many?
I know the numbers are going up all the time.
Yes, and if you stop and consider, okay, the older people sitting around watching all of this on TV and not so much exerting themselves, will it eventually, if they're fully vaccinated, kill them off? More than likely it will, especially over time. But it's the guy running down the football field that has had four vaccinations or four jabs who all of a sudden drops dead. It's the guy on the hockey rink playing his butt off that all of a sudden drops dead. It's the guy playing or the girl playing tennis and running her butt off or his butt off to get that next smack who all of a sudden drops dead right there on the tennis court. And I could go on and on. It's not the elderly. It is the active, I don't know. These are the people who hold the jobs down, who produce the products, who provide the services, who provide the medical care. These are those people. And their biggest killer is the one thing that was sold to us that was absolutely necessary to save humanity. Let me explain something to everybody out there. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, the number of athletes that are dying, Roger, the number of athletes are dying. I looked at those numbers, and they're right off the charts, folks.
Yes.
You should take some time and look into it. My question would be, you know, all these world-class athletes are dying. These people are pretty wealthy. Most athletes are pretty wealthy individuals. You don't think by now that a lot of them would be asking questions about what exactly is happening to their fellow athletes that are dropping dead. That's kind of a question I would have right now. If I was a professional athlete, I would have a big question about exactly what is happening. We've all been forced to take these jibby jabs, and our fellow athletes are dying at a rate that we've never seen before. So that's a question I would have. Why aren't they speaking out, Roger? Why are they being silent on this? They got to be aware of what's going on. Go ahead.
I would tell you something you said earlier, and I'm going to amplify it a little bit. There are more people awake right now to what we are discussing, okay, than I would have thought possible. I started the Liberty Beacon Project under a different name. It was We the People Network originally. That was almost 15 years ago. The Liberty Beacon Project came around 12 years ago, okay? And I was talking about the global elites and the New World Order. That's what it was called back then, the New World Order. Okay. You heard Bush Senior at the UN talking about we need a New World Order. Okay. And these are the things that we were talking about 12, 15 years ago. And everybody told us we were nuts. We were conspiracy theorists. But if you look today, and people like you and I who had done the research, we saw this coming. We knew it was coming. Okay? I have written almost 800 vaccine articles and done almost 200 shows on vaccines. I'm well aware that the vaccine mechanism, Bill Gates, who absolutely loves vaccines and is one of your biggest vaccine purveyors on the entire planet. And, I don't know, how rich has he gotten from that? But I was talking about this as a possibility, something like this happening 15 years ago, 12 years ago, 10 years ago. And people like you and I were being told we were nuts, except how nuts are we now? Do you know how many people come up to me or send me a message or call me and say, Roger, you must feel really, really good because this vindicates a lot of the things you said. And I get very angry at them. And this is what I usually say. Am I pleased that I have been vindicated and that the trust can be put in what I say? Yes, I am. Am I happy that nobody listened to me 10 years ago and a million people might still be alive? No, I'm not happy. I'm angry.
Well, we, you know, Roger, we did shows. We did a show there years ago, and I actually went to an archives at Awake and listened to one of the shows we did about 7 years ago. And it's funny, we were talking about all this stuff that we see right now, we were talking about back then, we don't want to be vindicated. The last thing we want to do is be vindicated, because we're vindicated, then everything we said is going to come to fruition. And now we are being vindicated. I don't want to be, I just want people to kind of maybe take it. I'm getting a lot of response from people that years ago were calling me an absolute tinfoil hat conspiracy nut. Those people now seem to have changed their attitude, Roger. So we're seeing a change, and I see it coming.
I can't go 1 week anymore without, and I do two of my own radio shows. I do one with RBN, and I do one with Shake and Wake. And I am asked to guest on at least four or five more a week. I don't do all of them because some of the platforms, I really don't think they are serious about getting a great word out. But the point here is, if we go back to that point you're talking about, I was lucky if I got one or two every 2 weeks. Now I'm getting five to six every single week. And one of the first questions I get is, I can remember when you were on this show last time, Roger, about 4 years ago, and we were talking about this and everybody thought you were crazy. Are you happy you're not crazy? And that usually elicits a not very friendly answer from me.
Well, you know, really, Roger, if you sat down 10 years ago and looked at what these people are actually doing, you know, it might sound corny to people, but you know, up to a video one night I watched called Architecture Truth 9/11, I was still basically asleep. I knew there was bad stuff going on in governments, but never in my wildest dreams did I think it was to the levels that I came to the conclusion that night after watching that video. And of course, once you wake up, you never go back to sleep. But up to that point, buddy, honestly, quite honestly, I really was more worried about going fishing and doing other stuff. But once you wake up, you can never go back to sleep. After that, I think I went down every rabbit hole I could find for the next 30 or 40 days. I sat in front of my computer. And like it or not, I listened to Alex Jones quite a bit back then. And you know what? A lot of stuff that he talked about back then is coming to fruition now. A lot of people don't like the guy, but I've listened to him. I did back then. And he woke me up to a lot of stuff. Go ahead, Roger.
I totally agree with you. But let's talk about why it's still spreading across the planet, why it hasn't been checkmated, why we don't see people already in prison. I opened up this discussion by saying there are more things happening that are wrong today, more disasters happening today in a very short period of time, and let me qualify that, than we've ever seen in any 20 to 30 year period in history. What we have seen in the last 2 years are massive catastrophes across the planet, whether it's the southern border in the United States, whether it's the massive inflation, whether it's the value of the dollar going through the into the toilet, whether it is this, I could go on and on, taking our military down by forcing them to get something they knew would harm them. Let's talk about that for just 1 second. This is what happened to the U.S. military, and it's not just the U.S. military, it's militaries across the planet, but I live in America, so let's talk about America, okay? You were told if you were, say there's four people in a tank, okay? If you're in that tank, you all have to be vaccinated, because if you're not, okay, and you have that virus, you have the ability to pass that virus on to other people and infect them, which would really severely restrict the efficiency of that tank. So if you didn't get vaccinated, you had to go. Anybody listening to this who doesn't immediately say, well, if there's four people and the other three have been vaccinated and you haven't, they can't get it. But that's not what the government said. That's not what the military said. The military said you were a danger to those who had been vaccinated. What? But let me take it even further.
Hold on.
It gets worse. Okay. If you stop to consider, all right, that Pfizer had to come out and say, well, we never tested these jabs to see if they prevented transmissibility. And guess what? We now know that you can, even if you're fully vaccinated, still transmit the COVID virus, which to me, it's actually the spike protein from the vaccine, but you can actually still transmit. So now let's go back to the tank, okay? If you stop to consider that everybody in that tank that has been vaccinated is every bit as transmissible as the one guy sitting in that tank who hasn't been vaccinated, but you're going to kick him out of the service. Do you know how many people in the Canadian military, how many people in the U.S. military, how many people in other militaries across the planet have had their careers destroyed? How many people have literally been kicked to the curb for something that was a total fairy tale? Tell me what's behind this, Barry.
That's the biggest scam ever played on the human race. And you know what, Rogers? These people that are perpetrating this on the human race, well, they know how much damage this is going to do. They're fully aware of how many people are going to die, or they have a pretty good idea. The only way I can describe these people is they're evil psychopaths. And for you and me to try and rationalize the way they think, man, that's impossible because we're not psychopaths. But they are very evil people. They know the damage. They know the damage they're doing,
yes.
Roger. And it's only going to get worse. Go ahead.
But you need to understand that they do not think they are. They don't think the same way we do. They don't consider the same way we do. Their goals, if they're born into an elitist family from birth till grave, are this, okay? The unequivocal takeover of humanity. So to them, whatever they are doing is part of that process. Justified. We are useless eaters. I just got done telling you that because at least 5 billion, it may be 6 billion by now, out of 8.5 billion people have had at least one shot, with many of them having multiple shots. Over the next 2 to 5 years at the most, you may see as much as 50 to 70% of the global population go away. And there is very little that can be done to stop that at this point, but they're still pushing these jabs all across the planet. We are going to see in the next 3 years a massive die-off of humanity, and nothing's going to stop it now.
Pretty scary statement, Roger. You know,
it's a fact.
I mean, people, you know, I know it's a fact. How much vaccine regretness we see out there now, how many people are cursing the fact that they weren't given informed consent about these jabs and they went ahead and did them. How many people are going to want to go out and kill after they find out that this jab they give their children was directly responsible for the death? The upheaval this is going to cause in our society, Roger, we could talk about that for half an hour because it's going to affect society. All phases of society are going to be affected by this. And people are going to be, when you people start find out, when they really start to understand that they've been completely played and that their friends and neighbors are dying like crazy, it's going to cause a lot of upheaval in the world. I think that's all part of the plan. Out of chaos always comes control. Go ahead, buddy.
I would agree with you. And I would also state that it is very hard to take over and rule a country that has any, I don't know, semblance of patriotism or any semblance of we're all in this together. It has to be that you force a society to argue and squabble and fight amongst themselves. This allows you your biggest and easiest chance to step in and take over. So what have we got in America? And I'm going to use America because she's the biggest under the gun. You can't have global governance till America goes to her knees. But if you take a look at what is going on in the United States alone, let's take a look at the education system. It's on its knees. Let's take a look at the border, the United States sovereignty, the southern border. Over 5 million people have crossed the border since Joe Bob took office. And there's a whole lot more than that that were never caught. These people, if you stop to consider that number of people, okay, that's a freaking invasion. And I could go on and on. What is happening is people are not able to focus on the big picture. That's what the vaccines are doing, or the jabs are doing. Why? Because their towns are being overrun by illegal immigrants. Why? Because they can't afford to buy food unless they work three or four or five jobs to feed their six kids. Why? Because when they go to their doctor, the doctor says, I'm sorry, I can't see you, you haven't been vaccinated. Why? Because when they go to school, they're being taught that the best thing that could possibly happen to America, they're teaching this in our schools, is communism. Why? I could go on and on. I told you at the beginning of this discussion that the biggest issue facing humanity are these jabs. But if everybody is so worried about the thing that is in their face causing misery to their life, the one thing they're not thinking about is the freaking jab.
Very, very bleak picture coming up, Roger. It is. When you talk about the fact that that many people have been jabbed, and at this point we can't do anything about it. We know that these jabs don't leave your body. We don't know what the long-term effects are.
There are some things that can
pretty
be
good
done.
Idea.
There are some there things that can be done.
There actually, yes, there is. Dr. Arianna Love. I just had a conversation with her about this. Go ahead.
You and Arianna and I have been working together for years. But another place you can go is you can go to Mercola, okay, his site,
right.
And do a search right. on, and there are ways to extract, there are ways to, the spike protein to detract, or excuse me, pull the spike protein from the body. There are ways to do these things, but the thing of it is, anybody who's talking about that is so shadow banned, their shows are hidden, their articles are never seen, but by a very select few. So where does that leave us? That leaves us with people like you and me, the Liberty Beacon Project, RBN, the network you work for. It is our job now to take this information and get it out, because the government won't let it get out. The mainstream media won't let it get out. Mainstream medical won't let it get out. If we need to grow those who can survive and help us to keep humanity free, then these are things we need to pass on to the people we know, listen, and encourage them to do the same thing. One last thing. If I do a show and 50 people hear what I have to say and it impresses them, and they each go and tell 10 people, that is now 500 people. If each of them go and tell 10 people, that's 5,000. If each of them go and tell 10 people, that's 50,000. And the numbers go up geometrically. This is what we need to do today. We need to be our own mainstream media, because the fourth branch, which our founders believed the media would keep America free because they would tell us when tyranny was coming in our direction, now work for that tyranny and are wholeheartedly a part of that tyranny.
Roger, if we actually had media in Canada that reported to the people what was going on right now, you would see a revolution that would boggle your mind, that this would all come to an end in a matter of a week. There would be so much uproar. But we know that the medias are completely controlled. People have to get away from that. And we're being censored so hard, Roger. You know what we find is finding to be an effective tool is handing out a magazine in Canada. It's called Druthers. And hand those out quite a bit now. And that's impacting people. They're seeing stuff that they never see on the news. Go ahead.
Would Trudeau be swinging right now?
Wow. Roger, you know, we're living in Canada with the most evil man that ever had.
Castro Jr. This country.
No, Jr. Trudeau's got him. I don't think so. I would argue that. I think Trudeau's got him all.
I'm making a joke. Making a joke, okay?
I know you are, Roger. And
a lot of people actually believe that he is Castro's son. A lot of people do.
Well, he is Castro. Roger, you know what? Anybody that hasn't taken the time to do facial recognitions, it's all out there, buddy. Just go and look at it. Go look at the pictures of Castro when he was Trudeau's age, put them side by side, and then take a picture of Pierre Elliott Trudeau when he was that age, and tell me what you see, folks. Your eyes
and his and Trudeau's eyes. Trudeau's mother was very friendly with Castro.
She's a hoser, man. She was banging everything that walked, Roger.
Yes. Yes.
Anyways,
but there are images of her and Castro together looking very friendly towards
him. They went to visit. Yes. And, you know, Pierre just loved Castro, and Pierre was a homosexual. He was not heterosexual, man. He was a homosexual. We know that for a fact. Their marriage was just one to portray.
So Mama was playing around. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Mama was walking and banging. Like, we all know the stories. Let's not talk about that anymore.
No.
She was loose, to say the least.
The point here is, if we take a look at the leaders we have today, one of the prerequisites to be the leader of a country like America today, or the leader of a country like Canada today, or the leader of a country like Great Britain today, is that you are compromised and within the hold of the global elite. Joe Bob is one of the most compromised individuals on the planet. We know the communist Chinese have him compromised. We know for a fact they have his son compromised. We know for a fact the Russians do. The wife of the mayor, ex-mayor of Moscow, sent him $3 million. We know the corruption they were involved in Ukraine. So when he was installed, not elected, we all know he was never elected. When he was installed by the deep state, he was installed because they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was corrupted by nations across the planet. And if they know that, then you know our own deep state, CIA, NSA, so on and so forth, also knew that. And they used this to control Joe Bob to get anything done they wish. But all of a sudden, we're coming up on our next presidential election, because that runs for 2 years. It's already started. They need to get Joe Bob out of the way so that a viable candidate that not everybody in the country hates can step in, and the Democrats may have a chance of retaining the presidency. So they need to get rid of Joe Bob. They either need to get him to resign or get him to state unequivocally he will not run for president. So what do? You find, all of a sudden, after 6 years, you find classified documents laying around in places like a box next to his Corvette, okay? Or in a closet in an office that it was funded by the communist Chinese, and they're sharing the office with a Chinese businessman who answers straight to the CCP. We're looking today at the deep state saying to Joe Biden, we don't need you anymore right now. If you try to run for president in 2024, you will destroy our party. You have to go. This is what's happening, people. It's not a joke. The deep state has turned on Joe Bob, and they will get rid of him.
That's going to happen very quickly, I believe, Roger.
Our president is on his way out, or he will have to step up and tell the world there is no chance I will run for president in 2024 because, and he can give any excuse he freaking wants, but he will have to make that declaration. And if he continues to do stupid things outside of their purview, the elitist purview, his puppet master's purview, then they will tell him, you've got to go now.
So what does that give us? That gives you what, Kamala Harris? Are you serious? Is that?
Oh no! Not if he sticks.
I think you'd have a problem.
Not if he sticks around until the end of his term. That's what I'm saying. If he sticks around until the end of his term, I honestly believe there's not a snowball's chance in hell you'll get a Democratic president, because the Democrats will be in such disfavor across all of the United States that they're, again, it just isn't going to happen. They couldn't even cheat to make that guy or girl who's going to run win. They couldn't. So Joe Bob either has to step up and say, I'm not going to run, or he has to walk away. Now, if he walks away, we get Kamala. I'm going to tell you something. The only person that Americans dislike, distrust, or actually hate more than Joe Bob is Kamala. She's even more
interesting, isn't it?
She's even more unpopular than Joe Bob is. Can you imagine that?
That's I don't know if that guy's going to last another. I know that's pretty hard to imagine, but I don't know if he's going to last another 2 years. Roger, he's really kind of becoming a mess lately. They can't hide it forever. I just can't see him lasting another 2 years. You ask him his name, he's stuck for an answer. And here's one other thing I'm going to say. I cannot believe, even if the Democrats put somebody in there that was charismatic, blah, 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 was a good talker, maybe a American edition of Justin Trudeau, because that's all he is a good talker. I can't see the Democrats being reelected based on statistics. And all people have to look at is what's happened in the United States of America since the Democrats took power. Go ahead. And where they're taking the country. I mean, a common sense person would vote against that. Go ahead.
If you take a look, let's go back 2 years, okay? Let's take a look at...
We got 2 minutes left here. Roger, go ahead.
Let's take a look at the difference between Trump and Joe Bob 2 years ago, where Trump was getting 50, 60,000 people at a rally, and Joe Bob spent 95% of his time in his basement. And when he did have a rally, it was 50 people sitting 6 feet apart in a school auditorium, which he couldn't even fill a quarter of it up. But yet, he was elected.
85 million votes. Yeah.
Yep. Look, Barry, thank you very, very much. I always enjoy having a conversation with you because the shows I do with you feel more like a conversation than an actual show. And you're somebody I enjoy talking to.
Well, thanks, Roger. You know, we'll do it again here in the very near future. Real quick, where can people find you? We got a minute left yet, bud.
TheLibertyBeacon.com is the flagship. We have other sites scattered all over the planet, but the other big site that you should consider is TLBTalk.com. It is a social media website where you can actually go and talk. And if you don't do anything else but go in there and form a group where you and your friends can actually discuss the things you need to, that's what we're there for, TLBTalk.com.
Thanks a lot, Roger, and we'll be having you back here very soon.
Thank you, Barry.
Bye for now. Okay, folks, I'll be back in a couple minutes with Chris Guy.
If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays? For Voices on the Wind, with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be invasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before. holy Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down and even...
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back. Sam McSector here, folks, and I'm just calling Chris Sky right now. He should be here with me in about 2 seconds. I know he's ready to come in. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm good. You?
Have we got you?
Yeah. Was it you that was calling? Because I kept getting an unknown caller, and everyone would pick up.
Your audio was really bad. But,
can you hear me?
Talking through your phone? Yeah, I can hear you now. Yeah. A little better. That sounds better. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Oh, hey, bro.
Yeah, you're breaking up pretty bad. Boy, it's been a while since we talked. I know you were just down in South America, and you're also involved in a court case. Where do you want to go? What's your pet peeve of the week, Chris?
Well, I can't really talk much about my court case, except that they delayed it a full 18 months before the trial got started, put 3 days aside for trial. I went there to do my 3 days of trial, and then they said they're going to need 2 more days of trial. So then they spaced it out even longer. They were supposed to give me a review of my bail conditions. That never happened. So I'm still on the same conditions I was. Now I got to go back to Toronto on the 15th of February, and if we can't conclude the matter on that day, I'm supposed to go back to Toronto again on the 28th of March. So they just basically dragging it on. Thankfully, the prognosis, I believe, looks good. I can't really talk about more than that. I can talk about South America. We were in Colombia and we were in Peru. I just have a really weird way of being in the wrong place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time, depending on how you look at it. And when we landed in Peru, we were actually trying to go to Machu Picchu, which would be a flight from Lima to Cusco. And while we were on the plane flying there, civil unrest broke out, and there was actually people literally dying on the runways of the airport where we were supposed to land. So they had to turn back, and we ended up getting stranded. Pardon?
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead, Chris. I'm just time to get out of there. Go ahead.
So we ended up getting stranded in Lima for about 4 nights, and We even got pulled over by a military-style checkpoint trying to drive through one of the worst parts of Lima. And it was pretty scary. We gave them our IDs and everything. They wanted passports, which obviously you're told not to carry around with you when you're in Lima because you don't want to get them lost or stolen. So it made the situation a little worse. So it was probably not one of my favorite places to be. And it's just like when me and my wife got to Venice in 2020 on February 27th for her birthday, right as they declared Venice the epicenter for the pandemic in Europe. We always end up being in the place like at a weird time. When I spoke in England, London, England in September, it was the exact same weekend they were doing the funeral for the Queen's death. Trudeau, Biden, and every other world leader were all there the exact same time. Just very weird coincidences, I guess you could say. But my biggest pet peeve of the week, I would have to say, is number one, that everybody thinks COVID is over. And meanwhile, we still have a mandate where none of us that are unvaccinated can even go into the United States of America. The USA is trying to overturn the Supreme Court ruling that will allow them to reinstate mask mandates on aircrafts. I can tell you that countries still have mask mandates on aircrafts. In particular, if you're flying through Colombia or Brazil, as I was to go to Peru, as I was to go to Mexico, they have mask mandates. I had to use my exemption for myself, my wife, and our friend, but everybody else on the plane virtually was wearing masks, just like they were in 2021, the peak of this, just because they were told to. And these are people that are coming from countries that don't have mask mandates, and they still complied just like everyone else. That was very, very scary. But the thing that scares me the most is the fact that we're marching towards the globalist agenda 2030, pretty much unabated. COVID advanced it quite a bit. And yeah, we stopped some of the restrictions. Yeah, we're not that afraid of COVID, but the vaccines are still around. The boosters are still around. Now they're making a new vaccine that they want you to inhale or eat. Now they're making a new mRNA vaccine for tuberculosis that they want to bring out. They're trying to make a new vaccine for cancer. So we're just getting started with all these vaccines. But that's still not the thing that's scaring me the most. The thing that's scaring me the most is this idea of the 15-minute city. Now, you started hearing about this from the World Economic Forum, and everybody like me started blowing the whistle that these 15-minute cities are basically like creating open-air concentration camps. When combined with a digital currency and digital identity, they will be able to control you and confine you like never before. Driving your own car will be a thing of the past. Private vehicle ownership in general will be a thing of the past. The average citizen that can normally take like one or two vacations a year will not be traveling internationally at all. They are already setting the stage to make international travel out of reach for the average person. They're putting visas in between countries that cost all kinds of money, testing requirements that cost all kinds of money. When you book an air flight now, they charge you not only for the ticket and all the taxes, they'll charge you hundreds of dollars if you want to choose your seat. We got charged $600 to bring three carry-on bags on one one-way flight as an extra fee on our airplane. And wow. This is just wow. What's happening right now. But the 15-minute city is not a conspiracy theory. If you look right now on the campaign for Alberta Edmonton mayoral website, SOHI, his entire platform runs on turning Edmonton into what they call a 15-minute city. And once again, a 15-minute city is where they will be able to track, trace, control, not just your spending, but your movements and everything you do within these confines. It is a very scary idea. And they proposed it, and they're putting it into action in London, England, in Oxford, where they have the school area. And they have certain zones, and when you're in your zone, you're only allowed to drive out of your zone certain times and certain days. And then they have days where you're not allowed to drive at all. And another way they're eliminating cars all the way from England is putting areas designated as ultra-low emissions. So you can only drive there if you have an electric vehicle. And as you see in Canada, now that we got used to mandates, they're beginning to try to mandate everything. And they've already stated by the 2025, they want at least 20% of all new vehicle sales to be electric. And by 2030, they want that to be 100%. And why do they want you to have an electric vehicle? Why do they want you to have an electric stove instead of a gas coal stove? Very simple. So they can turn it off remotely. They can track exactly how much you use and use it against you. Under the guise of environment, they are going to start confining us just like they did with COVID. But instead of restrictions that are aimed to save the public from a deadly pandemic, it's going to be environmental restrictions designed to save the public from ourselves. I hope people are keeping up.
Oh, sorry for laughing, but it's so true. Go ahead, Chris. I know everything you said, it's a master plan. It's been laid down for many, many years, and now we're seeing it really come to fruition right around the planet, the same agenda playing out right in front of our eyes. We in Canada now are in a full-blown communist dictatorship, and people still refuse to see that. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and I have the international perspective to prove it, because in the last 2-3 months alone, I've been in 9 different countries speaking about this, and it's manifesting in different ways in every country. For instance, in London, England, in their 15-minute city idea, I couldn't even rent a scooter. You know those Lime scooters that little 6- and 8-year-olds go and they scan their QR codes with their little buddies and they ride around everywhere, all over Canada, U.S., and pretty much anywhere in the world? Well, yeah, in London, England, before you can access one of those, you got to scan the front and back of your driver's license, the front and back of your credit card, hold up your phone and do a 10-second video selfie to prove that it's you, and then load that video selfie into what they call the Worldwide Global Digital Identity Network. And once you're verified by that network, now you can rent that scooter. That's how London is manifesting their 15-minute city. And in a place like the Netherlands, and the Netherlands, by the way, is the number one food exporter in all of Europe. So their economy rests and dies on their food exports. They have great technology sector, but they have a huge food export business, and people do not realize that. And they just signed the exact same agreement that we signed in Canada, the Agenda 2030 agreement to limit nitrogen emissions. And under that guise, the government has gone to 3,000 of the largest farms in all of the Netherlands and told them that you either have to sell to us or we're going to take your farms. Literally, just like the mob. You sell it to us for the price we want or we're going to take it from you. And that is the ultimatum they've given the farming community in the Netherlands, which is why it was one of the countries where I spoke in, and they're having a very similar movement to the trucker convoy that we had here in Canada, a real grassroots movement of the real backbone of the country over there, which is the farming sector. And they're blocking highways. They're literally shoveling manure onto politicians' houses. And it's getting more and more escalated and more serious, because it's not just there. It's happening all around the world. In places like Ireland, where I spoke, they're crushing Ireland by way of destroying the national identity, which is huge. If you don't have a national identity, if you don't have a national culture, it's very easy to make you subservient to whatever the government agenda is. If you have a strong family, strong ancestry, strong cultural heritage, you can't do that. So Ireland only had about 5 million people to begin with, and about 750,000 of them are now spread over abroad, because every single day, it gets harder and harder for Irish people to make ends meet in Ireland. Meanwhile, they brought in over 50,000 so-called Ukrainian refugees under the guise of the Ukrainian war. And these people are being put up in 4- or 5-star hotels, or given all the rental properties and all the jobs. And they're not Irish. And now you have a situation where I think something like 2-3% of the Irish population, so that's like 3 out of 100 people, are now refugees. It's very hard to keep the country economically solvent where you have a giant portion of the population having to pay for all of these people. They have a massive housing crisis in Ireland, where a city like Dublin with 500,000 people might have 180 rentals available for all of them. It's insane. So you're seeing very different problems manifest, basically exploiting each country's weakness. And in a country like Canada, our weakness, unfortunately, is our tolerance and our niceness, because we have all the natural resources. We had a robust economy, technology sector, manufacturing sector, exporting, importing, etc. So we don't really have a weakness on the economic scale. Our weakness is on an emotional scale, and they're exploiting that to the max.
Yeah, we're seeing the same shit happen in Canada that we see happening in Ireland, Chris. I mean, it's happening worldwide. The same agenda, almost identically, is being played out everywhere. As far
this
as
this is true,
you see what's happening in Canada. Well, what I see happening here, buddy, is our culture. Our culture has been destroyed in the last 20, 25, 30 years. Whether you like it or not, like you said, a country has nothing if it has no culture. And Trudeau's whole agenda right from day one was to destroy our culture as fast as he can. And we could talk about all the ways he's done that, Chris, but the fact is that we're not the same country we were at the end of the Second World War. I see now Canada as a multi-nation country where you have all these different people living here. And you know what? Some of them don't like each other. Some of them have been warring with each other for hundreds and hundreds of years, and now they're living in one country. It's not a really good recipe in the long run, Chris. I don't want to get into that too much, but I see a lot of things happening that aren't really conducive to our culture at all. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that is like you said. They're using the exact same recipe in every country. It's just manifesting in different ways in different countries as the weaknesses of those countries become prevalent. And it starts with destroying the culture and the identity. Then it moved on to destroying the family unit. And once they did that, they attacked masculinity, because if you don't have any masculine males, you don't have anybody there to protect and defend not only the women and children, but the country in general. So masculinity has been under attack for decades. And now that they think they've thoroughly demasculated men, and we can see that very prevalent when 95%+ of them put on a face diaper when they were told to, including, I saw a guy, black guys carrying guns, black guys that I know have killed people, gone to jail, et cetera, real gangsters. Like, these guys do bad criminal things on a daily basis. They're not afraid to carry a gun. They're not afraid to kill somebody, but they'll drive around in their car and they'll be wearing a mask because they're afraid to get in trouble from the government. Bikers that are supposed to be 100% against authority wearing masks. Guys in the gym, jacked as beyond belief, wearing masks. When you have the so-called alpha males of society and the so-called non-compliant and the criminal members of society still complying, that was a signal to the government that masculinity had been demasculinized to the point where they could move on to the next phase. And now they're attacking children. Children like never before. And they're doing it with this trans and LGBT agenda. And real LGBT people, gay people, lesbians, are against this as well. There is a huge movement online called Gays Against Groomers, where homosexual, bisexual, etc., even transgender, are calling out the agenda being put on children. There's a book right now that's out. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Indigo. Instead of it's the ABCs, it's called the Gay BCs. And every letter of the alphabet gives you a corresponding letter for the LGBT community. And you're supposed to be reading this to four-year-olds. A is for ally. B is for bisexual. C is for I don't even remember. But it's ridiculous, and it's not something that children should be exposed to. And they're doing it because the more they expose these children to this, a child that doesn't even know what sexuality is, they will want to explore it and they will get confused. And up until 2015, here, just to show you how effective it's been at destroying children, if you went back to way back, and it seems like way back now, 2015, which is only 8 years ago, in the United States and Canada, I think there was like 5 clinics that dealt with gender identity problems. If you look now, in 2023, there's thousands. And Big Pharma estimates that every single person that self-identifies as LGBT is worth at least $1,250,000 to Big Pharma. So they have an agenda not only to weaken society by promoting this, but by creating more customers. And if you doubt it, when you went from 5 clinics to thousands of clinics, that means they created millions of customers. Millions of customers that they're trying to do things to that they know are going to have a profound effect on their psyche and make them the kind of people that not only will comply to the government because they won't see things coming, but they're going to be too wrapped up with their own problems that they're never going to be a threat to government rule. And if they can do that to the majority of the population, as well as demasculinize males, as well as destroy the family unit, well, you just have a ragtag population, like a bunch of chickens with their heads cut off, running around in the cities, barely worrying about making ends meet so they could just pay their rent. And in the rural countryside, wondering what the hell is going on in the country.
Well, you could throw a few other things in there to scramble the brain, you know, like the amount of aluminum that your brain now possesses and what that food you're eating is genetically modified. You go outside and you're being sprayed like rats with beryllium, strontium, potassium iodide. That stuff all gets into our food, into our food cycles are all infested now with chemicals. Everywhere you go, we're being attacked. The human body is under attack from so many different avenues and, boy, I wouldn't want to be a kid right now, you know, with the confusion that this whole crap of bull crap that's happening in our schools. Well, you know, it's only a very small sector of society that's pushing this agenda, Chris. It's not the majority of society that's pushing this. It's a very small sector. And I really think now it's time for people to start going to school board meetings and getting involved with what's going on in the schools, because what they're doing to our kids is just corrupting their souls at a very, very young age. You got hardcore porn available in libraries in the United States of America, available to grade 7s and grade 6 students now.
Look at the progression. It started with allowing trans teachers, then it turned into drag queen story hour. And when nobody spoke up about that because it was just drag queens reading stories, now we see all ages drag shows where they literally perform adult style drag shows, but you're supposed to bring your children. And if you don't see where the progression is headed, then it's fucking insane. And what you said about spraying is very interesting too, because there's a lot of people out there, and I actually just made a video about this today, because coincidentally, I just got back from Mexico 2 days ago, and Mexico was the latest country that admitted to chemtrails, and they spray things like aluminum in the air to try to affect the climate. Only in Mexico, they called it out on a U.S. company who was supposedly doing experiments in Mexico without prior authorization. So Mexico went so far as to make a special law to ban the spraying of chemicals in the sky via aerosol, otherwise known as chemtrails. And chemtrails are a wonderful example because this is something that's been going on for years. There's literally executive orders that talk about it. There's peer-reviewed medical journals talking about the different substances that they spray and the potential harm it can have. And most of the number one side effects are all mental health side effects for the population.
Yep.
And it's a perfect example of how the government can do something literally right in front of your face on a daily basis and still have the majority of the population in complete denial.
Yep. You know, I looked at the compounds, and there's actually, believe it or not, Chris, in the United States of America, there's two patents that are approved for these aerosol sprays that they're spraying in the atmosphere to deflect the sun. That's their whole program, and that's the whole rationale behind this. But the components that I saw in the list were beryllium, strontium, potassium iodide, aluminum disolate, and I can't remember the name of the fifth one, but there's five. But these are all metal-based articles.
They're all metal-based neurotoxins.
They're all metal-based. They're going to end up in our soil. You're going to breathe them into your lungs, but it's absolutely saturating. The whole food chain is being affected by this. It's been going for how many years? And boy, I'll tell you, I bet you money, Chris, that they know what kind of diseases this is going to cause in human beings, and they've already got a prescription drug out for that, but because that's what they do.
Well,
make a disease, sell you the drug.
Speaking of that, you just made a very good point that I want everybody to listen to, because I know a lot of people listening are probably some of the ones that took the jab. And we warned everybody years ago that, number one, don't take it. Number two, they're not going to work. Number three, they're going to try to make you take as many as physically possible that you're willing to take. And number four, once you've taken three or more, you're probably going to suffer some kind of serious adverse reaction or effect. So now we're seeing that not only people are suffering the strokes, the blood clots, massive heart failures, but you're seeing cancer rates skyrocket. You're seeing HIV rates skyrocket. You're seeing virtually every illness skyrocket. And it's just like we said, the vaccine is going to lower your body's overall immune system. So whatever you were predisposed to get, if you were going to get cancer at 70, now you're going to get it at 40. If you were going to have liver problems at 80, now you're going to get it at 50, et cetera. And that's what we're seeing happen on a massive scale. And they're coming out with all these excuses. And that's what I want everybody to watch for in the media. The excuse for the new cause of all these things. And the latest one they came up with is they came up with a new guideline on drinking alcohol. And now they're telling you that alcohol is basically the most dangerous thing in the world. And before, when they said you could have 6 to 10 drinks a week, that's crazy. And now you're toxic and you have a much higher chance of, guess what, heart attack, stroke, cancer, and blood clots if you are over the limit that they say of 2 drinks a week. Something that they know virtually every single person who drinks more than 2 drinks a week. So now when that person dies of blood clots or that person dies of heart attack, what are they going to do? They're not going to blame the quadruple jab that they took. No, they're going to blame the fact that they had 3 beers that week.
Well, you know what, Chris? They're going to come to a point here. I honestly believe this. They're going to come to a point here real soon where they're not going to have enough excuses to explain to society what's happening around them. I think they're going to get to a point here very shortly, my friend, that everybody's going to know somebody that now has been affected by these jibby jabs, these quaxines. That's what I like to call them, quaxines. And when that starts to happen, people actually sit down at dinner table and start talking about this. I think you're going to see that that needle that broke the camel's back happen, where society is actually going to get up and do something about this. I ask myself every day, what's wrong with Canadians? What's wrong with people? They can't look at a few numbers like you just spoke a minute ago. Me and Roger were talking about that in the last hour, the spike in cancer. It's just right off the charts. And the numbers that we came up with, and Roger's done studies on this, and I have too, is that we've seen across the board about a 400 to 500% increase in cancer right from the onset vaccines. Well, tell me that's a coincidence, Chris. Go ahead.
And on top of that, if you look at the types of cancers, the number one cause of cancers you're going to see in women is breast cancer. And there's already been multiple peer-reviewed medical journal studies that prove that the mRNA vaccines can aggravate breast cancer or cause breast cancer in people that it was predisposed to, which is virtually everybody. Everybody is predisposed to cancer to some degree. So that's their way of saying that they know for a fact that the jab causes cancer. And they do. And they know it. And they don't care. And in fact, not only are they going to give you that jab and the flu jab, they want to give you more jabs.
Well, that's good business. That's how they make their money. They can sell you more cancer drugs, man. You know that every day in your life, we all have a cancer cell that goes through our body. That's a fact, but our body just kicks it out. Now we're seeing immune systems that are so depleted. You know, we're seeing children, Chris, an example, have a couple examples that I know these people that this happened to, where a 9-year-old girl went and got, because she was in a competition, a figure skating competition, went and got her booster shot on top of the 2 shots she's already had. And then 6 days after the booster, she's in the hospital with a heart attack. But it wasn't a heart attack. It was a bacterial infection, and it killed her overnight. A simple bacterial infection killed her overnight because there's nothing left of her immune system. You did a study that on the white blood cells count. Remember that? You talked to me about that. And it's
I showed everybody. I demonstrated how
that these vaccines just slaughter our immune systems. Well, that's good for big pharma. Go ahead.
They slaughter the immune system, then they can cause spontaneous death. Yeah, and the study that I did, which was on a limited amount of people, what I saw was every single shot you took lowered your white blood cell count, and if you were an older or unhealthier person, the amount your white blood cell count diminished was actually increased. So when they tell someone that they're at risk, like the old and sick or the people that already have pre-existing conditions like obesity, when they tell you to get the vaccine because you're at higher risk of COVID, you're also at much higher risk of vaccine adverse reactions. But they don't tell you that, and they should, and that should be illegal. Because they should tell you that if you're at high risk from COVID or any other disease, you're also at high risk to be hurt from that vaccine. And what we saw in Australia, they published the results for, I believe it was December, and they showed that 100% of the people that were in the hospital with COVID had all been vaccinated. And rather than decide that, okay, maybe we should stop the vaccine, they just decided that they're not going to report the statistics anymore because they don't want to give the public an unnecessary bias of vaccine hesitance. Because, you know, every single person in the hospital was there. And if you look at the death statistics, Sydney, Australia published they have the highest number of deaths monthly on record. Scotland said the same thing. So we have all these countries, England said the same thing, that have massive numbers of excess deaths every month.
Yep.
They're pretending like they have no idea what's causing it. It's not just in the old and sick. It's in all separate age brackets. And just today I made an entire collage of children. We're talking children, the oldest of 12 years old, just in the last month. I only took articles from December and January 2022 and 2023, and I ran out of space. I didn't run out of articles. I ran out of space for all the dead children that are dying suddenly.
Can you, I'm going to ask you to send me that information if you can. I know I've seen a couple reports on excess deaths in the United States of America for children 10 years and younger.
I can send you excess deaths from Scotland, from Australia,
almost
and it's going to show you that they're breaking records of death.
Right. And of course, the correlation, of course, is when they started giving the jibby jabs out. It's all,
100%.
It's all coincidence, of course, though. Yeah, 100%. But yeah, I was looking at the excess deaths in the United States of America, 10 years of age and younger. And the numbers, they're hard to believe. That's what actually be happening in society. And it's still allowing this to go on. We've got to put a stop to this, buddy. These people.
Yes, we do. And before we can even realize what's going on, they're already moving on to the next thing. And I tried to warn everybody about this in 2020 about tuberculosis, because tuberculosis is an actual serious disease with a much higher death rate than COVID. It's actually spread airborne. So if you were wearing an N95 respirator or better, it would actually protect you and others from getting the virus. So this would be like a real pandemic situation. And I warned everybody that tuberculosis, COVID killed like 1 million people in a year. And we locked down all of society for it. And those numbers were heavily, heavily, heavily inflated. Meanwhile, they just published the 2022 death rates on tuberculosis. And in a normal year, this is a normal year for tuberculosis, with absolutely no type of restrictions or no type of so-called pandemic, it killed 1.6 million people worldwide, more than COVID. The one that we call the deadliest pandemic ever, the one that we needed to give up our rights, freedoms, businesses, firstborn souls, and everything for, killed less people than tuberculosis on an average year. So now they've declared that we need to eradicate tuberculosis by 2030. Notice how 2030 is their agenda year for everything. And their best way to eradicate tuberculosis, of course, is a new worldwide vaccination campaign against tuberculosis with an experimental, never before tested, never before seen mRNA injection from the same people who brought you the COVID jab. So what do you think is going to happen to people that are already 3-4 COVID jabs deep, take a flu shot every year, and then go for a nice injection of tuberculosis? And the only reason they're making a new tuberculosis vaccine is because the old tuberculosis vaccine, which they don't even use in Canada or the U.S. anymore, for the reason that it actually causes tuberculosis, is why they're making a new vaccine. So we already know that their last attempt to create a tuberculosis vaccine ended up with a vaccine that actually caused the virus. We already know that the mRNA vaccines are untested, unsafe, and ineffective. We already know that the COVID vaccine was far more dangerous to the people who took it than COVID infection was. So what the hell is the tuberculosis vaccine going to do to people? And what's it going to do to people that are already taking COVID jabs and everything else? Answer, nothing good.
Not a very nice picture coming forward. See, you know what I see going on with these vaccine agendas. They put this COVID-19 out there. Everybody got terrified. They all ran into their houses and hid under their couches. They saw the control level they established with that. And if you think they're going to let that go, man, people have their head in the sand, because they're going to come back with something really crazy the next time around. And I'm scared to think that. I think probably a lot of society will just go along with them again, Chris.
Well, just like they said, just like they used Event 201, and if nobody knows what Event 201 is, Event 201 was basically the COVID pandemic predicted by Bill Gates and all his cronies in an official document right before they actually unleashed the COVID pandemic. Well, Bill Gates just did another exercise like that, and he said in this new pandemic, it's going to be a disease that can actually kill people, and it's going to be a disease that's quite prevalent in children, because COVID, the number one thing about COVID was it basically did absolutely nothing to children until we started jabbing them. But this new pandemic, they're going to make sure the disease can kill kids, because they know that's going to get the unfettered compliance of the parents. And a disease that is very prevalent at killing young children is tuberculosis. And that's why I mentioned it before. And it's a very scary idea, but to put past the idea that they would use tuberculosis or any other virus to start killing children, to put us back under a state of lockdown and put us back under a state of duress where they can get the digital identity, vaccine passports, and digital currencies all passed in once without any real resistance, it's not a far cry. And if people think that this is over, this and that, they just applied in Kelowna, BC, just yesterday. They applied to the Supreme Court for an injunction against any more freedom protests or anti-vaccine protests. Why would they be going for injunctions to try to make protesting illegal if they didn't have an agenda on the books to continue with more restrictions and more attacks on your liberty and more attacks on your financial freedom and your children's future? Answer, they wouldn't.
Absolutely. Well, you got to look at who's running British Columbia also, Chris. I mean, our elected or our appointed premier is communist to the core. I mean, just Bill 36, what they just brought in, and now it's law in British Columbia that a doctor speaks against COVID, anything to do, anything contrary to what the government's putting out on COVID-19 vaccine regimens, the whole nine yards, that doctor can go to jail for 6 months now in a free society. Isn't that great?
It also allows the government to impose federal. Bill C-36, and this is even worse, allows the government to impose their federal regulations in private clinics. Before, if there was a mask mandate, it would only apply to the hospitals and government clinics. Now it will apply to every single private clinic as well, dental, chiropractor, physiotherapist, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. That's what Bill C-36 does. And also the BC government is on the Agenda 2030 agenda. They also passed a UN UNDRIP. So to think that they're not planning 15-minute cities for every single district, Vancouver's already built like that. They're going to turn every single area, Vancouver, West Vancouver, Langley, Delta, Surrey, Richmond, into their own so-called 15-minute cities. And you're going to see that it's going to become increasingly more difficult and increasingly more expensive simply to get out of your so-called district. And the kind of freedom that we've enjoyed for generations, where you can just get in a car and literally drive across the country, is going to be long gone. These tours that I've been doing across Canada are going to be a thing of the past. They want to ensure that the average person has the ability to not go more than 15 minutes away from where they live. That's what the 15-minute city is all about, that you're supposed to be confined to that 15-minute area for the vast majority of your entire existence. You're going to work there. You're going to go to the gym there. You're going to buy your clothing there. You're going to get your hair cut there. That's where you're going to go to restaurants. That's where you're going to go to nightclub. Those are the only people you're going to meet. You're not going to meet people from the other district. Your entire life, your entire world is going to shrink, all under the guise of shrinking what they call your environmental footprint, when in reality, it's just your actual footprint. You are not going to be walking and taking up as much room as you used to. You're going to be living in much smaller quarters. You're not going to be driving a car. You're not going to be going on vacation. You're not going to be doing cross-country road trips. All of that stops. And you're going to be nothing but a cog in a wheel of a very scary system, just like they have in communist China.
What can you say to that, eh, Chris? This is a reality that he's talking about, folks. How fast do you think it'll take them to implement this kind of agenda worldwide, Chris? How long do you think?
Well, their target is to have all this done before 2030. And that's why you're seeing it roll out everywhere. You're seeing it roll out now. Just type in 15-minute cities in Google and try Canada or try U.S. or try the country you live in, and you'll see that it's being implemented. Paris has already declared itself a 15-minute city. Edmonton's trying to become a 15-minute city. Toronto's trying to become a 15-minute city. All of these big cities are going to do it because it gives the government so much more advantages, so much more tax revenue, and so much more control over the average citizen. And that's what everything that we're seeing has been about from day one, about consolidating control. They already have all the wealth. The people that are pulling the strings, the people that own the banks, the people that own the politicians, the people that own the big companies, they already have trillions and trillions of dollars. What they don't have is unfettered control over each and every one of you, because it's absolutely impossible to control billions and billions of people. So they're going to design an electronic control grid that monitors and controls you automatically, while at the same time putting out a massive depopulation program to not only sterilize the vast majority of you, but to kill a great number of you. Because that is the only way to so-called save the planet. In reality, it is the only way to save their rule of the planet and to cement their rule for generations to come, because they are setting up a, literally a slave society where you have no chance of gaining wealth, you have no chance of passing anything on to your children, and your children have no chance of success unless they become some kind of puppet for the elite, either a sports star or an actor or something like that. That will be literally the only chance of success. Business, entrepreneurs, hard work, even working by the hour will be a thing of the past. As everybody's on a universal basic income, the government gets to decide where you live, what you eat, how you get around, who you interact with, who you marry, that's what your life is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound like a place I want to live, Chris. Okay, here's the million-dollar question. Can we stop it?
Of course we can stop it. The million-dollar question is how the hell are they going to get away with it? Not if we can stop it. Don't look at it as the negative. This is their goal. In order to implement their goal, they need everything to happen perfectly, and they need the subservience and the compliance and the ignorance and apathy of about 85% to 90% of the population. That is a huge task. And if you know something called Murphy's Law, it's that everything that can go wrong will go wrong. And I represent one of those things that can go very, very, very wrong for them. And that's why I speak to you. That's why I speak around the world, because I know I change hearts. I know I open minds. And I know I create people that would have complied but will comply no longer. And I'm not the only one that can do that. Lots of people are doing that. Even the people that once felt silent, even the people that once believed the government, are now on our side. So every single day that goes by, yes, they get closer to their goal, but at the same time, they wake up more of us and they disenfranchise more of the population and they unite more of us against them. So everything in life is a double-edged sword. We can look at it the wrong way. Oh, these people are relentless. They have unlimited resources and they're just going to keep going until they get their way. No, 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 no. It's going to be like an elastic band. And yes, they're going to push and push and push and push and stretch and stretch and stretch. But it's going to get to a point, because the universe loves balance, where that elastic band breaks or snaps back with much greater force than they can handle. And when that tidal wave truly happens, we're not just going to see a cleanse of COVID restrictions. We're going to see a cleanse of the entire New World Order, WEF, WHO, global government agenda around the world. And countries will truly be free to make their own economies and truly be free to make their own way of life and truly be free to allow their citizens to intermingle and move between each other. And we could utilize the world's technologies for good rather than for control.
It's going to take a little
bit
of work.
That's the way I look at it.
But I know, we still have a window open right now to really put a stop to this. I believe the only way we're going to do this is for people to really get their poops together and put their differences aside. We see so many divisions in our society. People have got to be able to put those aside and really address the enemy. And the enemy is the government.
That's 100% true. And that's exactly what
I put that question to you because I wanted to trigger that response. I absolutely stand with you. I'm not going to bend to these guys. I will fight this to the end. If we win, I believe we will, because evil is unsustainable. I believe we're going to go through a little bit of poop here in the next little while, but in the end, this is not going to happen to the human race. We won't allow that to happen. But in the meantime, they're sure wrecking a lot of lives, Chris, and why that's allowed to go on, I don't have an answer to that question. Go ahead.
Well, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, not just to make people aware so their plan ultimately fails, but we're trying to mitigate the destruction that they're causing. Obviously, we can't save everybody. Obviously, there's going to be the completely compliant, the completely unsuspicious, and the completely obedient, and those people aren't going to fare very well. But every single day we can change the hearts and minds of people. And that's not just somebody that we're adding to our fight. That's someone that we're literally saving spiritually, mentally, physically, every way possible. So that is something that you have to hold on to, and something you have to realize that you are making a difference, and you're making a difference for good. And if we didn't do that, then we wouldn't win. And we, so they want you, this is the best quote. They fear love because it creates a world they can't control. And that's why they want you to feel so hopeless. That's why they want you to feel like it doesn't matter when you're screaming from the rooftop. Scream as loud as you want. Say whatever truth. Say whatever statistics is not going to help. They want you to feel that way. Because when you do spread the love, you make people aware and wake up and realize there is something worth fighting for. And love can conquer fear. Love can conquer logic. Love can conquer reason. So love can conquer every which way they try to manipulate the people into submission. Because when you have something you truly love, you'll fight for it. And you'll fight for it to the bitter end. And it won't be a bitter end, because everyone will realize that they need to fight for the same thing. And that is why this entire propaganda campaign post-COVID has been just about feeding us bad news and getting us in a bad frame of mind. The Ukraine war, the inflation crisis, the oil and gas crisis, flu, RSV. They're talking about stroke season now. Stroke season is a thing, because they need to explain it. Anything they can to make you feel. Look what they did on Christmas. They canceled all those flights to make sure nobody could meet up with their family and friends. And I told you before the break, I said the number one thing they're going to want this Christmas is to either scare you to stay away from your family, or if that won't work, they're going to do something to physically keep you away from their family. What do? They canceled thousands of flights. In Mexico, where I was, they closed the entire airport, every single airline, every single flight. You're trying to tell me that there was no rain in Mexico. So you're trying to tell me that every single destination that they fly to internationally from Cancun, they simply couldn't land the planes? Give me a break. It makes absolutely no sense. They closed down highways. They closed down railways. And it was all about creating disruption, all about getting as many people to say, screw this, I'm not traveling for Christmas next year. And it was about getting as many people who were jabbed and unjabbed, masked and unjabbed, not to come together for Christmas and not to share time with their family and friends. And so why? Once again, why did they do that? Because they were afraid that people were going to spread too much love, spread too much hope. And when that happens, they lose control instantaneously.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely correct, Chris. The whole vaccine passport agenda that was put out on people, you know, Trudeau brought that forward and told people that was recommended by Health Canada. And then, of course, we found out afterwards that Health Canada said the opposite. They said there was no evidence to support vaccine mandates on airplanes. Trudeau did that himself, wanted to publish the Canadian or punish the Canadian people. This guy is a tyrant, and all he does now is want to punish people, man. His day is coming.
I want to expose the other side of the coin.
One thing, Chris. Well, we got to get rid of the whole system. Trudeau is just a puppet head. He's just a talking head. It's not Trudeau. It's the whole system has to be revamped.
Thank you. Because if you look, I despise Trudeau more than anybody. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at the other side of the coin, who's the number one favorite to win as PM is now Pierre Poilievre. We know that he came from the WEF. We know he was on the WEF website as one of their members and someone who attended their events. And they only took him off in 2021. When he started his campaign for prime minister, who was the guy in charge of running his campaign? Do you know?
Refresh my memory.
His name is John Baird. John Baird is a friggin' career member of the World Economic Forum, and he's also a member of the Eurasia Group and works alongside Gerald Butts. He's like bum chums with him. Gerald Butts is the secretary for Justin Trudeau. And he's not just his secretary in name. He's the man who writes up the actual documentation, the actual policy. Gerald Butts is responsible for NAFTA, the Paris Climate Change Agreements. He's also responsible for, what else did he do? All the things we don't like that Trudeau has done were really written up by Gerald Butts. And he works hand in hand with John Baird, who then ran the campaign for Mr. Pierre Poilievre. So, to let you know, the WF literally has their hand up the ass of every politician in Canada, and they control what they say. They control who they talk to. Danielle Smith is another plant. Everybody loves Danielle Smith in Alberta, and I'm going to call her out right now because, number one, She said, the unvaccinated were the most discriminated people in the history of Canada. She got cheered. She went on to say that she's going to make it illegal to mandate anything in Alberta. Then she went on to say that she's going to pass a law to pardon anybody who got charged with COVID violation. Fast forward 3 months, she rescinded her promise of making mandates illegal and said instead they're going to contact companies and encourage them not to mandate and try to withhold federal funding if they do mandate. So she lied. Then she said they're also now going to prosecute the COVID fines if the Crown prosecutor believes that there's merit and that they could actually win, which is what standard operating procedure is. So she lied about that. Then you got to know, where did Danielle come from? Danielle came from a radio show, right? Everybody knows that. She was a radio host, and she talked about the pandemic, and she talked about boldly. But who was her employer? Her employer was a little company called Corus Entertainment. Corus Entertainment, which is the largest media conglomerate in Canada, was purchased and created by Shaw way back when. And they've seen their stock go from around $9 at its peak to around $2 now. So the only way these companies can stay alive is by getting bailouts and by getting our tax dollars from the government. The only way they get those tax dollars from the government is by giving out government their agents like Danielle Smith, and they put them into positions of power like Premier of Alberta, and then their station gets a kickback once that person gets into power. So that's why Danielle Smith was employed by Corus Entertainment, the largest media company in Canada, and is now your Premier of Alberta without even being elected. And that's why she's already reneged on all her promises. She was just supposed to pacify Albertans. So this is why I say you can't rely on politicians. You can't rely on voting your way out. You cannot rely on a broken system to save you. The only way you can save yourself is by conducting yourself in a way that renders them unable to control you. And the only way you can do that is by simply just saying no to every single government restriction. And if you think I'm wrong, let's go through the list of things the government told you to do. First, they told you to wear a mask. If you didn't wear a mask, would you have been better off? Yep. They told you to take all these tests. If you didn't take all the tests, would you be better off? Yep. They told you to take up to 5 jabs so far. I'm pretty sure you know that if you didn't take those jabs, you'd be better off. They told you to close your business. Would you have been better off if you listened? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Literally everything the government told you to do, if you simply said no, you would have been better off through the entire pandemic. Not only would you have been better off, you might have even thrived while others struggled to survive simply by being non-compliant. Meanwhile, moving forward, you're still going to see the vast majority of the population claim that compliance with the government is going to be the only solution to this problem.
Wait a second, Chris, there's a new savior coming. On his white horse, Pierre Poilievre's coming to save Canada, man.
Oh, totally. I'm sure he'll just rescind every type of mandate we have. He won't put a new mandates in place for the next time they declare a pandemic. And he's totally going to kick the WEF out. He's not going to go along with the digital currency. Danielle Smith, by the way, is on video saying that we can't stop the digital currency. And then she compares it to the digital currency that they already created and put out in China that 200 million people are already using, and how that digital currency can expire. So if you don't spend your money, the government just takes your money back, which makes it physically impossible for you to actually garner wealth, no matter how long you work, how many businesses you have, or how successful you could have been. And then she goes on to talk about China's social credit score and how it applies to the citizens and how that's inevitable for that system to come to Canada. So she's literally greasing the skids for everything that Justin Trudeau is already implementing.
I've heard a few people talking about her in the last week here, and a wolf is a wolf. It can put on a sheep's clothing, but it's still a wolf inside, and that's what we're finding out about Danielle Smith. I don't trust any politician. I never will. Like I said, Chris, the whole system has to be revamped. Nothing is working for the Canadian people. The system's broken, and the only way
that's why on February 18th we're having another worldwide rally. You heard, about that, right? February 18th is the worldwide rally. There's going to be probably one in your city. I'm going to be in Toronto, Ontario, for the first time in a very long time. And I think it's a very important rally because since I left Toronto, Toronto has become the place that used to be the beacon of hope because we had the biggest number of people, the largest rallies, the best movement. But since I left, it's been fractured, and there's been a lot of division. And now there's all these little independent movements and independent events on the same days in different cities. So we're getting everybody all over Ontario, even people that are hours away, to create convoys and make it to Queen's Park, Toronto, Saturday, February 18th. I'm going to be there. We're going to be talking not only about these COVID restrictions and the jabs and the effects they've had on society, but what we need to do going forward, how we need to wake people up, how we need to engage society. And I believe that this is going to be a great way to reignite the movement and reunite everybody just in that area, as well as around the country and as well as around the world. Because I believe in 2023, moving forward, we're going to see renewed attacks on our liberty, renewed attempts at restrictions with travel, renewed attempts at restrictions on business, and increase of taxes to try to cover all the money they've been spending. We already know that they're planning on bringing the carbon tax up like triple to what they have it now. Yep. So we're talking like at that point, we're going to be paying like in some areas of the country over $3 a liter for gas. And if that happened in the United States, the equivalent in gallons, there would be a civil war overnight. But in Canada, they know they can get away with it, so they'll just blame it on Vladimir Putin.
Absolutely. I looked at all the proposed tax raises this year coming from the Trudeau government, and Chris, it's absolutely astronomical. We only got about a minute left here, buddy. I'm going to let you say a last parting thought here. Thanks for coming in and chatting with me. Always a blast having you on, and we'll get you up to Terrace to go fishing this year. Last word for you.
Yes, I would love that. I'd love to come to Terrace for an event too. But this is a shout out to all the people with a lot of money out there. There's people like Elon Musk that have billions. There's people like Andrew Tate that all pretend like they have all this clout, all this money, all these connections, and they're on our side. Where the hell are they? If I had even 10% of Andrew Tate's supposed $500 million, if I had $50 million in the bank right now, I would have already taken over the PPC party. I'd be the number one prospect for Prime Minister of Canada. And when I won a supermajority, I would have rewritten a new constitution and rewritten an entirely new way of government. Meanwhile, they have these multi-millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires around the world fully aware of what's going on, pretending like they support the freedom movement, pretending like they support people like me. But while people like me get arrested, I got arrested for the 25th time when I flew into Ontario and tried to go for fingerprints, by the way. We just keep getting arrested, and we just keep having to go through the grinder over and over and over again. Well, these people sit on the sidelines and talk about the things that happened to them and talk about their money and talk about what they're doing, but at the end, they don't do anything. So that's what I'm calling out those people.
Sorry, buddy. Okay, I got to let you go, buddy. Thanks for coming in, man, and we'll do it again real soon, okay, Chris?
Love you, brother.
Thanks, man. Bye for now. Okay, folks, back next week, same time, same place. Got to go.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
We will not comply with the institution's sick illusion. No, it won't be televised. Welcome to the
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host,
Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio.